Patriots. Good evening, I'm Bill Campbell, and welcome to Straight Talk with our catchy new theme song starting tonight. Joining me tonight in the studio is Marina Miller, a junior at Lathrop High School, who's here to talk with me tonight and also with those folks at home who will call in about the problem of pollution on the national level, international level with the launch of the new satellite Galileo probe, and also here on the local level. Marina, welcome. Thank you for coming in tonight.
Hello, thank you.
A little bit about yourself before we begin.
Well, I'm a 16-year-old junior presently attending Lathrop High School. I am involved with musical activities throughout the community, and I'm involved with school at Lathrop.
And real aware. To everyone at home and those of you who have telephones in your car, please feel free to call in tonight and ask questions and join in on the discussion. The number here in the studio is 474-5044, and the phone lines will be open all evening. Again, that number is 474-5044. Well, to start off, Marina, something that's really in the media today. Unfortunately, it's kind of sidelined due to the earthquake in San Francisco, but it's the launch of the space shuttle. And on the space shuttle is Galileo probe, which is the interstellar satellite. Powering that satellite is 15 pounds of plutonium. And there's been a lot of controversy in the last few days about that launching from people who are afraid of an accident, similar to the Challenger accident, which would release that 15 pounds of plutonium. How do you feel about it? Is it worth sending the plutonium up, or should we not use?
I think anything that is going out into outer space is worth doing. I think learning as much anything possible of space is worth our time, and I feel the plutonium, considering it is a very, very dangerous element, I think it should be used, and I'm sure the people at NASA and the people who are engineering this craft are fully aware of the effects of this, and I think it's not very probable that anything should happen to the craft bringing the plutonium to space.
You know, I was watching something the other day, it was a NOVA special, in fact, and they were talking about the way the plutonium on the satellite is encased. And they're saying how they put small amounts in one case and sealed up in another case and put another amount in of the plutonium and then seal that up in a case. And so the plutonium is not in one chunk, but instead it's in many little cylinders. And do you believe that this is tough, seeing how we're part of this mass, but do you believe that the mass really knows the truth about the plutonium? Do you think NASA's telling us the truth?
I don't think so. I can personally say that I'm not very aware of Galileo or this launch, as a matter of fact. As far as I'm aware, I haven't seen it anywhere throughout the media, and nor have I read it in the newspapers or heard it on the radio. Last week at our school, there was a NASA presentation, and a man from NASA came to our school and spoke about Galileo and about the probe and about the plutonium. Mm-hmm. And I think I hadn't heard anything about it previous to that. And as shocking as it was at first, it made sense because it is very, very well encased. And I really don't find it probable that an accident will occur like the Challenger, which happened several years back.
Right. And then we're speaking kind of past tense here, seeing how the satellite was launched today, and it was an uneventful launch, and it is on its way. I mentioned earlier, you know, since we're speaking on the national level, there was another NOVA special, and it happens to come to mind, and it was talking about the large cities, for instance, New York, Boston in particular has been cited for this, and Seattle is starting to come in the limelight for this, and it is the dumping of raw sewage into the oceans.
Mm-hmm.
For the simple reason that those cities are so huge, they're having a difficult time processing all the sewage and taking care of it. Any feelings?
I think that there are most definitely better means of disposing our sewage and our wastes than polluting our environment. And I think that with the technology available today, that there are means to dispose of this more properly than polluting the oceans and the lands. I think there are more suitable means of disposing of it.
Mm-hmm. Any ideas?
Not offhand.
It's a tough question. Tough question there. We were talking before, and while this is kind of a side topic, is ANWR, the Alaska National Wildlife Refuge.
Mm-hmm.
And while that has to do more with oil exploration, one of the arguments for not exploring ANWR is, if we do find oil, we have to obviously transport it out of ANWR down to Valdez or another port, as fear of an oil spill. And oil spills have been a real topic here in Alaska the last few months, but fear of an oil spill. Are you in favor of opening ANWR? Not more necessarily for oil exploration versus wildlife, but fear of an oil spill versus non-fear.
I think it's something to be fully aware of, that it's possible that an event such as the Exxon oil spill could reoccur. And considering that ANWR is a national refuge, I am also fully aware of the fact that there are large deposits of oil in that area, I truly believe that it should not be opened up to exploration for the simple fact that Prudhoe Bay is up north and we have oil coming out of there. And considering that it is a refuge, I don't think that it should be invaded by people searching for oil. I think that we have enough oil going through the state as it is.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I would suppose that a pipeline would have to be constructed. And although our pipeline, for the past years that it has been here, it's been successful, and there haven't been very many spills that I'm aware of, I think that it should... I don't believe that it should be made available to oil exploration.
Again, that's a tough national question. You know, we've been talking about three current events. How aware are students of what's happening?
Well, looking through school, unless a student is involved with the science curriculum through chemistry and earth science, I don't believe that students are aware of what's going on in the environment or what's going on just throughout the media. Kids are rather oblivious to it. And I'm taking chemistry at Lathrop, and of course we have the current events issues going through, and we talk about the space probes and different events that are going on throughout the world. And to be honest, unless a student is involved with the science curriculum, I don't think they would know very much.
Mm-hmm.
Not very aware of what's going on.
Which is shockingly true tonight. You know, when I was talking to people about tonight's show, a lot of people were like, pollution? What's that? And bringing the whole thing back around to a local issue is, I know last year at Lathrop, seeing how I was a student there, we did the aluminum can drive.
Mm-hmm.
And that was successful, but it was difficult. And the reason I bring this up is a lot of cities, when you dump garbage in the larger cities, and I was just in Portland last weekend, and Portland does this, is you have to separate your garbage. Aluminum's going in one can, and aluminum's are picked up on one day of the week, and paper's going in another can, and that's picked up on a different day. And then, you know, any combustible materials are put in chemicals, cleaning fluid, anything like that, is put in a separate container, and that's collected on a different day.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't do that here in Fairbanks. How is that aluminum can drive? Is it still happening at Lathrop?
Well, the aluminum can drive at Lathrop is still sponsored by the student council, and it's a good thing. It raises money for the student council, which sponsors different activities throughout the school, and also it is a logical means of disposing of the aluminum. It's recycled, and we have separate bins for trash and aluminum at school. But, however, because aluminum, the cans are regarded as just more trash, it gets mixed in with the regular garbage cans. But for the amount that the kids throw away into the cans that they place in the bins, I think that we are still producing a lot of income from what we recycle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's being recycled, and it's a logical means of disposing of it. And it, in the long run, it benefits the students.
Do you think they realize that?
Student council does. I think, for the most part, kids are aware of the bins that are there for the disposal of the cans. And for the most part, from what I have noticed, the students do use the bins. They throw their cans away. And the student council takes them down to the center to be recycled, and they are recycled. And that money goes towards the student council's bank account, which, right, as I said, sponsors our activities.
Which is also, I know, another goal of the program is to encourage students to recycle and, mm-hmm, and participate in that. And this, here in Fairbanks, you know, now we just got our first big snow, and boy, did we ever get that. Springtime always comes around, and the roads are always, I mean, just filthy.
Mm-hmm.
And any comments?
I think that the people, the committees which go out in the spring to, you know, the cleanup acts, I think they're really to be commended. They do a fine job, and the volunteers that you see on Saturday mornings of the day that they clean up the city is remarkable. They do a fantastic job, and I think that part of the problem, you know, the fact being that Fairbanks or Alaska has such a prolonged winter, it, all the garbage accumulates, and when the snow melts, of course, it winds up on the ground. And I think I find it to be sad, but then again, I also feel that it's not really avoidable, that it'll happen. And the people who go out in the spring, they're fantastic. In years past, I've been with the schools out picking up the roads with our yellow garbage bags,
mm-hmm,
and it works out to be a good thing for the community because it shows involvement, and at the same time, we are benefiting the environment by cleaning it up.
And speaking of the environment, you mentioned this earlier too, was the Exxon Valdez and the spill in Valdez in the Prince William Sound. Do you think Exxon was treated fairly and properly?
I feel that they didn't take as large of a responsibility as they should have. I think that it was gross negligence on behalf of man that it happened. It shouldn't have. It really shouldn't have. And the fact that you can never make amends with the way the environment was destructed by the oil, it's really sad. And I think that it wasn't handled fairly because I don't think Exxon didn't take enough heat for what had happened. And I don't think Hazelwood although he is being tried fairly, I think he should be taking more responsibility for what had happened, for the spill. I would say he was the cause of it. He was supposed to be manning the ship, and what happened happened. But now we are suffering the after effects of the spill, and this is just a few months after the spill happened. We've got many, many years left to see and observe how it is truly going to affect the environment.
Mm-hmm. And General, up here real quick, if you have any questions or comments, not necessarily you, Marina, but people at home listening, and would like to call and comment, ask a question, or just make an opinion, please call. The number is 474-5044. And again, that number is 474-5044. I know you spent this summer in Europe,
mm-hmm,
and the Valdez oil spill, I've heard a lot of questions about, boy, it ruined your state, ruined the coastline. And people have a hard time realizing how large Alaska is and how very little coastline was directly affected by the oil spill. Did you get some of that comments while you were in Europe? Did they think the entire state of Alaska was ruined? And
actually, I didn't receive any comments or questions about it, much less Alaska. And but from people from the other states, you know, other parts of the United States, have commented on, wow, the oil spill was very, very bad. How was it handled? And I agree with you that people aren't aware of how large Alaska is and that, say, Fairbanks wasn't affected. And I think that with the spill, where it occurred was, although it greatly was detrimental to the environment, I don't think that people were all that affected by it in terms of their lifestyles.
Mm-hmm. We have a caller. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hello.
I think I need to turn my radio down. I'm not sure whether or not you're hearing me.
Yeah, we do
I
now.
I can't hear you on the telephone.
Uh-oh. Okay, well, listen to us through the radio.
Okay. You're dealing with ecological issues here, and I think that's great. I think that's one of the things that I was always very surprised with, having come from the state of New York up to Fairbanks, was there was a real lack of concern that way, and I'm glad to hear young people getting involved and becoming aware. It just does my heart good. I'm really glad to see that it's not just we people from the 60s that, you know, celebrated Earth Day, you know, trying to push those ideals on the younger people. It's good to see that they're kind of, the natural thing is happening. They're becoming aware and they're wanting to do something about it. And I can recall, you know, years ago, many years ago when we first came here, that I was just appalled at the litter and the debris and the magnitude that I found here, you know, in a place like Alaska. I mean, it was just overwhelming. And I think it kind of reflected the attitudes of the people at the time, was that, you know, we're here and we'll do what we want to do. And as a result of that, it's really taken its toll on this great state. And it's good to see that young people are starting to become aware of these issues, not just with collecting cans for money, but you kids need to do something even more dramatic, make more of a statement, and maybe get together and lobby somehow and make the public more aware that we need some bottle laws to collect, pop bottles or something like they do in other states where they recycle these things and use them over again.
When you came from in New York, did you, I know a lot of cans will say redeem for 5 cents and they list off 4 or 5 states. Did they do that in New York?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And did everyone participate?
Yeah. Oh, I can remember when I was a kid that we would get into the movies by going and returning beer bottles that we'd find laying around, or the pop bottles that we would have, and even pie tins.
Mm-hmm. Anything that was recyclable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What was, you mentioned already the trash you found in the spring here after the snow melts, but what was the most striking thing other than that you saw in Alaska?
My first trip to, that we drove down to Anchorage and then came back up the Richardson Highway, and the light was such that the sun was starting to lower, you know, just to set, and no, it wasn't. Yeah, the sun was down at such an angle that when you looked up the highway, you could see this glinting kind of sparkliness, and you realized what it was the reflection off of cans and bottles alongside the road.
Right.
And it stays with me to this day. It was so profound, and my heart just sank. I just and it's been that way ever since. It's just, I don't know what it is about living in this area where people don't take pride in their where they live, and they just throw things down thinking that it's okay. Well, the place is big enough, it's woody enough, it's not going to show up. But it does, and I notice it, and I don't like it, and I'm glad to hear this girl talking like that. Really get into the conservation and ecological issues and do it with full force, because I'll be right there behind you, backing you.
Well, great.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling in. And if anyone else has any questions or comments, the lady just called in. 474-5044 is the number. And question or comment either to Marina or myself. Again, that's 474-5044. She brought up some good points, you know, of the roads and whatnot. And
like she did.
Like we already talked about. One thing that sparked me when I was listening to her speak was animals. And from the oil spill and how they were affected. And you made a comment when you were talking about the Exxon, how we haven't felt it here in Fairbanks. But do you think we have felt it here in Fairbanks? I mean, obviously we felt it in our pocketbook. Do you think we felt it wildlife?
I think so. I remember being quite distraught with seeing the photos on the front page of the animals and the seals and the birds, you know, drenched with oil, and knowing the casualties of these animals as they were being killed from the oil, and my heart went out to them. It was pathetic, and like I said earlier, this is just the beginning. We've got many years ahead to notice what's going to happen to the animals and the natural environment, how it's going to affect the ecosystem.
You know, some people make comments during the oil spill referring to the pictures, know, of the sea otters and whatnot, and the way they're affected, and but maybe someone will try to whip me with a wet noodle for this one, but didn't I sometimes have the feeling like we're seeing the same otter over and over and over in the same pictures? I'm almost like, the animals weren't really affected that bad, but we kept seeing the same picture. Mm-hmm. So it really heightened awareness, which is good. But do you think that the media over-heightened awareness? That they really overplayed those animals?
No, I didn't. I still don't. Because what happened shouldn't have happened. And the fact that it's going to take a fantastic toll on the people in the area and the environment in that particular area and everywhere that the oil has spread out to, I think that the media did a fine job with presenting what had happened to the public. I remember seeing it on the front page every day for weeks. And in terms of the animals, it's just pathetic. And I don't think that it was a hype on behalf of the media to produce the photos that they did by constantly showing the same sea otter over and over again. I think that they did a fine job.
And that's, I've seen a lot of, like I said, I was in Portland last weekend, and while I was in Portland, I saw a commercial about Alaska tourism and for next summer and whatnot. And on the commercial, they made a comment about some of the effect of the oil spill didn't put us out, we're still here, or the oil spill didn't ruin us, Alaska's still here, or some of that effect, insinuating that, boy, you know, a lot of people really believe Alaska was gone. It was destroyed. And I know I worked for a tour company this summer, and we had a lot of people cancel tours because of the oil spill. And they, oh, geez, oil spill is huge. It must have destroyed the entire state, and they canceled their trips and whatnot, which is too bad, because the spill wasn't that huge.
I think that people aren't really aware of quite how vast Alaska is, and that in actuality, the spill was by no way as large as the state. Granted, it's spread out everywhere now, but when it initially happened, it was controlled fairly well. And it makes me feel really proud to see those brochures and to see the signs that say, hey, Alaska is still here. It's not ruined. It's still as beautiful as it was before the spill happened. That makes me feel really positive. Because it's true. There is so much more of Alaska to offer than just that area of the state. Because if they don't have to go to that area, they can go inland to Fairbanks, for example. But there's so much of Alaska to offer that just a mistake like the spill isn't going to spoil the whole country.
It sounds like we're doing a tourism commercial here, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Come on up to Fairbanks. We weren't affected by the spill. Since the oil spill, through the state government, they've initiated a plan to try to keep this from happening again. And the plan requires that for ships going out, that you have a crew of tugboats that can tie up to a disabled tanker, and also one ship that is equipped with spill retainment nets. And since the Exxon spill, we have had one supertanker on its way out again, right by Blyreath again, that lost power, and the tugs did tie up to it and did pull it away. Now, not insinuating that we would have had another Exxon Valdez oil spill by any means. I'm just saying that the ship lost power. Do you think that's an adequate prevention program, and should more be done? Should less have been done?
Well, what more can they do? I mean, the oil has to get out of Valdez, and it has to get to the lower 48 somehow. And I think I don't exactly find it feasible to build a pipeline from Alaska all the way down to Seattle or something. And I think that the tankers need to be more equipped, better equipped. And the example of that tanker earlier that you just mentioned, I think they did a good job. It's scary that happened, but at least it was retained and nothing disastrous occurred again.
Since then, do you support oil exploration?
Yes, I do. However, I don't support constantly using fossil fuels. I think there are other means of electricity production out there other than using fossil fuels.
And that kind of leads us right back to nuclear energy, which is where the controversy came over plutonium. What would you think? Obviously, Three Mile Island and all of those kind of nuclear accidents in Chernobyl and whatnot, but what would you think if they wanted to build a nuclear plant here in town? Would you be afraid? Would you still want to live here? Were you afraid of the nuclear waste?
Oh, it's a very difficult question. Fairbanks is my home. I grew up here. I was born here. And I wouldn't leave. I can say I would not leave. I would have mixed feelings about it, knowing there was a nuclear reactor or a nuclear plant in my town. But I think as long as the public was kept very well aware of the goings-on of the plant, that it would be acceptable. I think that people would be afraid, knowing the accidents which have occurred elsewhere, but as I believe that as long as the general public was kept very well aware, that it would be okay, and for the most part, it would be safe.
Mm-hmm. You know, this is what kind of sparked me into doing tonight's show was, again, while I was in Portland, one of the topics we talked about this student forum I was at was pollution. And while I was there, I spent an afternoon with a gentleman who used to live here in town, and we actually went, on his way taking me to Portland to catch my airplane, we went to the dump. And he had a washer-dryer in the back end, and it was the dryer portion. And he went to go dump it off, and he said all the dumps in Portland are all privately owned. And they're not owned by the state or by the cities. And we pulled up to drop off this dryer, and the folks said it'd be $29.50 to drop off the dryer unless you removed the motor. And if you removed the motor, it was like $10 if you took out the heating element, or the motor, rather. And I kind of looked at him like, goodness, what's that for? And he said it was because they put the bulk of the dryer in one portion and the motor in another portion because it all gets recycled.
Mm-hmm.
And that what they don't recycle, they send all the way up into, let's say it was Washington, into some ravine, and they send it up the Columbia River, but they don't put it on the river. They drive it up in semis because they're scared of a spill into the Columbia River. Whereas here in Fairbanks, you know, our borough owns our dumps,
mm-hmm,
and our refuges. That's one idea for solving, because I know that's a real problem down in South Cushman there with the dump.
It is.
Is we're filling up quickly. Very large enough city. Well, we're pushing 7 o'clock, and that's it for Straight Talk tonight. And thank you for calling in, to the lady who called in. You brought some very valid points. And perhaps tonight's show, and perhaps this will spark someone to discuss this in schools a little bit more. In your chemistry class. Marina, thank you for coming on, and thank you for everyone here at KUAC. Until next Wednesday night, I'm Bill Campbell. Good night.
And there you heard Bill Campbell hosting another program in Straight Talk. Hello and good evening to all listeners tuned in to KUAC FM in Fairbanks, your radio station for the best selection of classical music in Alaska. This is Roderick Tay, and I'll be here in the studio to share some fabulous music with you this evening till Ed Moore comes in at 9:30 to host KUAC's Round Midnight. In just a moment, we present another fine concert featuring the Chicago Symphony Orchestra performing in Orchestra Hall, Chicago.